Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today and the blessing it's been already just being in church. Trust that you've sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 13, Romans in chapter 13, we'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. I think a very appropriate passage of scripture for what we're doing here this morning and honoring our first responders. Romans chapter 13. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read the word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you today, we thank you, Father, for just your presence in this place and for the opportunity that you made available to each one of us and for all of those that are here that took advantage of it. And I just pray now, God, as we have read this passage of Scripture, that you would meet with us, and God, that you would allow your spirit to bear witness with each and every one of our spirits and revealing to us what we as individuals and us as a congregation need to receive. I pray, God, as we receive it, that we would also be willing to make whatever decisions that need to be made because of it. I ask you to use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we read here in Romans in chapter 13, I don't think there's any doubt that God makes it clear that He, Almighty God, places people in positions for His purposes. God places people in positions for His purposes. Matter of fact, that's what, if you want to give this message a title, it's Positions Ordained by God. Positions ordained by God. God's will for man is a civilized human society of law and order. If you study the Bible, we find, especially in the New Testament, what Jesus Christ presented to us, which is the fulfillment of the Old Testament and all the biblical principles and things taught in the New Testament, there is no doubt that it is God's will for mankind. Not all mankind accepts it, but it's God's will that we live in a civilized human society of law and order. The Bible says in chapter 13, as we just read this, let me help you to better understand it, the powers that are mentioned there would be authority, okay? And so, let every soul be subject unto the higher power or the higher authority. Can I say right there that God is the highest authority? He is the creator of all things. And as He created all things, we find that He created especially man in His own image and after His own likeness for His pleasure. And so God has the ultimate authority or power over humanity. And as we acknowledge that, you find that God blesses that. And so God being the highest authority, but all of the other authority that God, the positions of authority, are ordained of God. That's what the Bible says right there in verse 1. The powers or the authority that be are ordained. That word ordained is this: appointed or set apart for an office. Appointed or set apart for an office. That means that the Bible says that God, all of these positions have been ordained of God, the positions we talked about right here that we just read, and God has appointed or set apart for an office that people serve through. They serve through these offices in order to have law and order. Verse 2, it says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power or the authority resisteth the ordinance of God." The idea of the ordinance of God is a rule established by authority. The rule established by authority. And all of those that are in positions of power or positions of authority, establishing the laws or the rules, the Bible says in verse 4, look right here, "For he, each one of them, is the minister of God to the others for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God." Now, very clearly in verse 4, two times he says, those that occupy those positions that establish rules, laws that we live by, are the ministers of God, meaning he is to carry out God's purposes. Now, we see this very clearly in the United States of America. As we look back to the establishing of our great United States of America and the Constitution that controls and is supposed to govern government and all the laws, we find that our forefathers looked to the very Bible that we have before us, looked to the Word of God, acknowledging God, and wanted to establish the laws of our land based upon what the Bible teaches. I mean, that should be accepted by all people. That, no doubt, is a history, and there is so many documented proofs of that. That is a history. We look at our currency, and our currency itself reveals that our forefathers believed in God, because on our currency, it says, "In God we trust." They use the Bible, and they use the King James Bible in the establishing of the Constitution of the United States of America. And in all the judicial procedures, before you're able to testify, they would have to put your hand upon this Bible, God's holy word, and you would make an oath. You would swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. That was our government. We established it as God-fearing, God-believing people. And this United States of America is a society that is supposed to be, and I believe is, governed by law and order. And if we're going to have law and order, then we have to have these positions occupied by those who want to carry out law and order established by God. They are God's ministers. They are there in the office that they are serving from to accomplish God's will for a civilized society. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also. That means that you need to honor, you need to respect, you need to pay tribute to those offices, for they are God's ministers. I'm not talking about being pastors and deacons. I'm not talking about that. They hold positions that God has established, and they are to carry out the will of God in those positions. All of those who serve in these positions established by God for a civilized society are to be honored. Government is to be honored. Government positions. No, if you don't like the person, that's up to you, but you are called upon by an almighty God to honor, respect the position that they hold. whether it be government positions or especially those in whom we're honoring today and public servants. Can I tell you that most first responders have something within them? I believe something that God has placed within them that makes them want to help others in need. That's truly a public servant. If they're doing it for the right reasons, it's because they want to serve and they want to make a difference and they want to help those in need. Not doing it for the money. I think that all of those in public service here would say amen to that. They are worth far more than what we pay them to put their lives at risk and to handle the things that they handle every day, to have a civilized society for us to raise our children in and for us to live in. Not doing it for money. They're not doing it for money. And if they're not doing it for the glory of the uniform or the badge, and some might, but for those that are doing it for the right reasons, can I tell you that God places something within them to fill a position that was ordained of God? Each one of you in public service, can I tell you that God has had a part in placing you in that position according to what we've just read? There's also that position that God works through today that is called the position of a Christian, a born-again, Bible-believing Christian that has been ordained by God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, look over there with me. Positions ordained by God. This is one that has been ordained by God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and this is everyone that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believe him to be the Savior of all mankind, believe his historical truths that he walked the face of the earth some 2,000 years ago, lived for 33 years, and then laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. As a Christian nation, we acknowledge that. We acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ as a holiday that we put on our calendar as a Christmas. We acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a Christian nation, placed on our calendar as Easter, as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So history itself, the history of our great United States of America and human history reveals that Jesus Christ walked on the face of the earth. Amen. He set an example for those who want to follow him to live by. He's paid an ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life. He laid his life down on the cross of Calvary for others, for all humanity, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. He resurrected on the third day to prove that he was much more than just a man. He was God who was manifested in the flesh, who came to earth to pay a sin debt that all humanity owes and could not pay. Jesus paid that sin debt. And as he did that, he established a position as a Christian, someone who has received him. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is anybody that has believed in Jesus Christ, put their faith and trust in him, received him as their personal Lord and Savior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. You're going to see things a little bit different because now he comes to live within you. And he helps you to see the larger picture. He helps you to life being here. He is as a creator. He helps you to understand God's purpose for your life being here. He helps you to understand that you have a position that the world needs. A light of the world. The salt of the earth. A position that God has established, ordained by God for a civilized world. And all things are of God. All things become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. As he has given public servants and even government a position that has been ordained by God, as the Bible says, we now have a ministry, and that is of reconciliation. To the wit, God was in Christ. This is what we are ministered. This is what we are to do, is tell people that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And look right here in verse 20. He identifies this position for every believer to hold on to. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. God has given every believer a position of being an ambassador for Christ. That word ambassador, that position, is an authorized messenger or representative. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning, can I tell you that you have a position that Jesus Christ established as being authorized, an authorized messenger or representation of him? Wow. We are to represent Christ, and we represent Christ in serving others. Christ didn't come to serve himself. He didn't come to exalt himself. He came into this world as a servant. Matter of fact, look there with me. Philippians in chapter 2 helps us to understand exactly what he did, an example that he has set for every one of us, as we are to be ambassadors, a position that God has ordained for every society. Philippians in chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible says this: if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God manifested in the flesh, the Bible says, but made himself of no reputation. But this is what he did as an example for us, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As filling the position that God has ordained of an ambassador, we need to do the very same thing. Humble ourselves, looking to God, and being obedient, living and doing what God would have us to do until death. Lastly, this morning, every person in any position of authority or power would benefit from and be helped by a personal relationship with God. Can I tell you that God desires this? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has a love for all humanity, for God so loved all humanity, the whole world. The Bible says, not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance where they can have everlasting life. Even though God desires it, it takes a personal choice. God has given every human being a free will. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's going to come by way of your free choice. You choose. Even though God desires it, yet many have religion without relationship. The United States have become a very religious nation. There's churches on just about every street corner. There's different types of faiths, if you will. But there's only one Savior. There's only one genuine truth. It's something that this nation was built upon. We need more than religion. We need relationship. In John chapter 3, and I'll close with this. In John chapter 3, probably the greatest example that Jesus has left us is in John chapter 3. It is the very same chapter that we find John 3:16, one of the most familiar verses of all the Bible. But leading up to that, we find that Jesus is dealing with a man called Nicodemus. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man, and look right here, of the Pharisees. The Pharisees was a religious group of individuals, one of the highest ranking religious group of the day. A man of the Pharisees, religion, a ruler of the Jews, authority. The same came to Jesus by night. He didn't want others to see what he was doing, but something was pricking his heart. He knew there was something about this man called Jesus. He had religion, but he didn't have relationship. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We've seen what you've done. We've heard what you say, and there's something to it." And Jesus, knowing his heart, knowing that he had religion, but he didn't have relationship, look what Jesus says in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, except the man be born again," not accepting a religion, not turning over a new leaf on life, not changing how you live necessarily. But the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. If God says you can't do it, you can't do it. There's no other way. There's no other way. If God says there's no other way, there's only one way, then there's only one way. Nicodemus saith, and he didn't understand that, as many today would not understand that. And Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" The only recollection that he had, the only knowledge that he had after hearing what Jesus said, you have got to be born again. The only understanding of being born I have is when I was born into this life, a physical birth. All of us have a physical birth that we go back to. And no matter how badly you'd like to change that date, you can't do it. Not and be honest and upfront. You're that old. Your life, your physical life, was given to you back then. And how, whatever the date on that, that's how long you've had physical life. That was the first birth. Being born again means there has to be another birth. We find that the first birth somewhat gives us an understanding of a second birth, because Jesus Christ likens it to a first birth, being born again. As you were born the first time, you were given life. As babies being born into this world, they have no clue of law and government. They have no clue of right and wrong. All they know is, I have life and I want to be fed. And they learn what they need to do to get attention. Whether to be two main things. You got to be fed and you got to be changed. Amen? So you learn what you have to do to get the attention for feeding or to be changed. That's what. And then as they grow, they start learning more things about the physical life and the world that they live in. You have to be born again. If you're going to have a relationship and not just religion, there's got to be a point in time in your life when you come to a place when you realize, I am lost and I need to be born again. Yeah. And Jesus said unto him, you need to be born again. Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of the water would have been a physical birth, a water. All of us are in the womb in a water, a sack of water. And we find here that first birth, he's talking about a physical birth, and the second is a spiritual birth of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Jesus clarifies what he said about being born of the water and born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. If you want more than religion, and you need more than religion, you need relationship. If you're going to have a true relationship with an almighty God and be given forgiveness of sins and be given an everlasting life, then you have to go to a place where you can be born again, a second birth. Once you reach the age of accountability and you understand life and you understand that's what sin does and the result of sin, the wages of sin is death, separation from God for an eternity. But the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the Bible says. When you come to that place to realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, then you are right there ready to have a relationship. And the beginning of that relationship is acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was for you. He paid your sin debt. Now you have to acknowledge that to him and be thankful for the sin debt that he paid for, your sin debt that he paid for on the cross of Calvary, and ask him to use that very blood that was shed on Calvary's cross to wash away your sins, to come into your heart, to forgive you for your sins, and to save you when you pass from this life to have an everlasting life. Amen. A day that you were born of the flesh is flesh. There has to be a day when you was born of the Spirit. If you can't go back to personal experience in knowing that you of your own free will called out and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you need to do that today. Don't put it off any longer. God's worked in your life and in your heart to bring you here. I believe we preached the word of God that he wanted to have presented today. Would you receive Christ today before it's eternally too late? The most important thing that Christ's church can offer to anyone is what we're offering to you right now. An invitation to have somebody take God's word and help you to know what you must do according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for coming today. Before you leave, whether you're first responder, whether you're a church member or just a visitor today, before you leave, would you search your heart, your soul, to truly know if there's been a time in your life that you've been born again? If you can't confirm that, an invitation, we're going to have an invitation in just a minute. That's an opportunity for you to come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says, not what this church says, but what the Bible says a person must do to have a relationship with God. We'd love to do that. Would you give us that opportunity? Father, we bow before you now. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for our first responders, and thank you, Father, for the job that they do and what they have a desire to do in helping people in need. Thank you for everyone else that's been here in this service. And God, listen to your word being preached. And I pray now that, Lord, we've done all that you'd have us to do, and now it's up to every individual to make whatever decision that they'll make. If there's those here that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, help them to make the right decision and choose a relationship over religion. Bless in this invitation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.